keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. Thanks for joining the broadcast today. We've got a packed show for you. I want to just run down what we're going to be talking about and who we're going to be talking to today on the broadcast. First up will be Congresswoman Claudia Tinney.
Yep.
And she's got a piece of legislation that would divert IRS money to the border so that we'd have more border security. And again, I think this is so important at a time when we know that Title 42 is still hanging in the balance,
literally,
you know, from the Supreme Court. So this massive influx could be occurring. And in the new omnibus, there is not new money for actual border security.
Yeah, I mean, they have $1.5 billion, but you can't use it to secure the border, which is absurd. But what is interesting here is she also wants to redirect the expenditures allocated for the IRS to the border, which makes sense. The good news on top of that is, as we said on last week's broadcast, in the omnibus bill that went through, you had a reduction from $80 billion to $12.5 billion, basically, which still sounds like a lot, but folks, it's almost an 80% reduction. So they're not hiring 87,000 new agents. And I like to take that $12 billion they're allocating, or the $60 billion that's left, put it at the border. So I think Representative Tinney is absolutely correct, and we're going to get into discussing with her, which I think is great.
Yeah, and Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee is going to be joining us. He had legislation regarding fentanyl, and to again put priority on stopping that. Democrats voted against it.
It's unreal.
And it's affecting. I mean, that's when we say that the border crisis is in every city and town. It doesn't matter yet if your city has gotten a busload of migrants. What your city has got is a ton of fentanyl. And we know it's the number one killer of young people. We know there's enough fentanyl that's come across our border to kill every American 10 times. We've seen the images of police officers, local police, when they make an arrest of a dealer who's got fentanyl somewhere in their pocket. And they just touch that person, and they go into cardiac arrest.
It's unreal. And the fentanyl crisis is touching every family in America. So we're going to be able to get into that.
What he also is, I think, going to be talking about with us, which is something new for Tennessee, is that it's now adding to another state that will have migrants being dropped off. We don't know where yet. And this is the U.S. senator from the state. But what he does know, and we'll be talking to us about, and so imagine what's happening next for your red state if you live in a red state, is that it's mostly single men.
Yeah, and you know,
which goes against that whole narrative that this is families.
Yeah, but of course, we've established this. Every state is a border state. Every city now is a border city, and we'll be able to talk to Senator Hagerty about all of that. So it's interesting to me that this is all happening simultaneously with Congress just coming out of session and the omnibus bills passing. It's just it's an important time to stay focus, stay in the game. And like I said, we picked up this IRS issue earlier in the year. We stayed on it. The end result is that $80 billion not going to the IRS, 87,000 new agents not going to happen.
And that's not it. Today on the broadcast, we're also going to have Secretary Pompeo on the border, on the universities in China, and on TikTok. That is in the omnibus that federal government employees will have to remove TikTok from their phones. That would include all federal government employees, not just members of Congress and their staff.
Yeah, but as we go to a break, we want to encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Folks, we are in the last week. This is it. And this is our most important week of the year. Your support for the ACJ is critical. It's how we stay engaged on all these issues. It's how we broadcast this program. It's how we have lawyers here in the United States and around the globe. From the Supreme Court of the United States to the City Council in Colorado, your ACLJ's there. You can make a big impact. We're in a matching challenge campaign. It's ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. And what that means is if you donate $100, if you're able to, we get someone else donating $100. So effectively, the ACL gets $200. So it's huge. The same goes true if it was $5. It would be $10. And we rely on a grassroots support for the ACLJ. That's how we're set up. That's always been the way we've been set up. We're proud of that, actually. That's how we are able to do what we can. We've got thousands of supporters around the country. Support the work of the ACLJ by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. We've got a lot to discuss today. There's a lot of news breaking, including Supreme Court action as it relates to Title 42 with the immigration crisis on the border. You know, every town now is a border town. Every city is a border city. And the problem is the Biden administration wanted to let expire what's called Title 42, which was at least utilized to try to control an out-of-control situation. The problem is the Title 42 was set to expire by the Biden administration today. And the governors and the attorney generals of Arizona, Texas, and others of the states, especially those directly on the border, have gone to federal court. They were not successful in the lower courts, but they asked the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, to stay. That means to issue a stay, stop the proceedings so that Title 42 can stay in place while the court reviews.
But I think, Dad, what is clear here is all your work before the Supreme Court. This could, Title 42 could end tonight.
Oh, certainly. I mean,
there's no guarantee.
Listen, I probably have done a dozen or two dozen stays before the Supreme Court of the United States on very high-profile cases. What the court did was say, look, we're going to take a look at this. We got the brief from the states. We want the brief from the federal government. Then we're going to review it. Now, that review could just take place by John Roberts himself. He issued the stay, but he could very well say, I want the whole court to review it. It could stay into place for a couple of days. He could say, I've looked at it, and I don't want the stay to stay in place at all, and it could be over with tonight. Now, reality to me, and I've done these before, is I think this is going to take a couple of days. I think he's going to refer this to the entire court. Jordan mentioned the American Civil Liberties Union. You know, they used to be the champions of free speech. That's how they marketed themselves. Jordan and I head up the American Center for Law and Justice. If you need information or like information about what we do, which is to counter those moves like the ACLU and others that they make, I encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's our website, aclj.org. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Truth Social, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. But the ACLU is a plaintiff. They're a party to this case, actually. So it's a very unusual situation. You got the states on one side, federal government on the other side, and some non-governmental organizations like the ACLU on that side. So it's a showdown at the Supreme Court. There is no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And we know the ramifications of this are huge. I mean, if Title 42 goes, and that is no longer a tool that can be used by the federal government, we're talking about tens of thousands of new illegal immigrants even a day. They're talking about numbers going from 3 to 7,000 in a day.
Yeah, I mean, you got the mayor of New York City, Mayor Adams, is saying, we can't handle it. If it goes up 1,000 a week in New York, that New Yorkers are going to not get services they're used to. Something else that I think is pretty interesting here. The government, through our budgeting process and through when the Democrats were controlling both chambers, the House and the Senate, and, of course, the White House, they decided that they were going to get 87,000 new IRS agents. Now, listen, my first job out of law school was with Chief Counsel's Office of the Internal Revenue Service. My client was the IRS. I was a Department of Treasury lawyer. I litigated on behalf of the IRS. We filed the biggest lawsuit against the IRS when they targeted conservative organizations and Tea Party organizations about 6 years ago and went to federal court. We won. We got an injunction. We got damages for our client. But the idea that you're going to expand the IRS by 87,000 agents to basically go after me and you and everybody else that's listening to this broadcast right now, rather than putting the resources necessary to protect our border, and you got the Biden administration in total denial about the problem at the border. At least they say they're in denial. But they're in denial about the border, but they want to spend billions of dollars to increase a dysfunctional agency called the Internal Revenue Service, an institution that I've said often, I will say it again, is institutionally incapable of self-correcting. So we're going to really get into some of these issues today, what we think should be done. I think we're going to hear from members of Congress that have got some solutions to this that we can now actually see go through. I'm also going to tell you this. The January 6th committee issued their report yesterday. I read it cover to cover, including the 50 pages of footnotes. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast as well. I will just tell you this, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. What happened on January 6th was a horrible situation, terrible. But to make a federal criminal case based on the allegations contained in that January 6th report, remember, the Department of Justice can't rely on hearsay. They can't rely on evidence that would be excluded in a court of law. It's a whole different paradigm. It's a whole different burden of proof and standard that would be implemented.
Yes, let me tell you a little bit about the show today. Congresswoman Claudia Tinney is going to be joining us first, and she's got proposed legislation to take that money that was going that $80 billion for those 87,000 new IRS agents to go after middle-class Americans, and take that and reappropriate it to the Border Patrol. So we have more Border Patrol agents, and they have more resources. We've got Senator Bill Hagerty on fentanyl, which is something, like you talked about, every city being a border city.
And we've added this impact to every family in America.
It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, urban, or live out in the country. Fentanyl is affecting every family across the country. So many lives lost already. And then Secretary Mike Pompeo is going to be on.
Now, Jordan and I know a little bit about all of this because we served as counsel to the former president during both the Mueller investigation and Ukraine's and the impeachment issues. So I handled a lot of these cases as the president's lawyers. We'll also be taking some calls at 1-800-941-7326. That's 800-941-SEAN. But folks, you look at what's going on in the country right now and you say to yourself, it's like a timeout.
Yep.
Everybody needs to catch their breath here because things are moving at unbelievable pace and the abuse that's taking place within the government itself is scary. The problem is these institutions, we talk about the IRS, we talk about the Department of Justice. I mean, the FBI was basically running Twitter. I mean, the reports that have come out on Twitter is basically Jim Baker, who was the FBI general counsel under James Comey, ends up as the associate or deputy general counsel for Twitter. Elon Musk fired him, by the way. Because a guy named Jim was blocking the disclosures of what was actually happening when Elon was trying to get the information out about the putting the thumb on the scale, when Twitter was putting the thumb on the scale against conservatives. And there was a guy named Jim blocking it. And finally somebody said, who is this guy, Jim? Jim? He was the former former general counsel of the FBI for James Comey, and then served, you can't make this stuff up, folks, as the deputy general counsel for Twitter. And now we found out today that there's not one or two FBI agents there. It's like they brought over a branch of the Bureau.
Yeah, and we were wondering why in some of these disclosures they were talking about classified information. And we figured out, well, they brought over a lot of people with security clearances.
Yes, because
so they were acting like an agent of the federal government. In fact, the FBI was treating them like they were part of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. If you see the emails, they're like instructing the Twitter staff, we have a call. Don't miss it. Here's the list of people. And they were just normal folks, not like blue checkmark folks. And they say, these are the people we want info on, or maybe you should take down their accounts. By the way, do you have location info on their accounts?
Yeah, so they can
because
find out.
Because we need to visit them.
Yeah, we need to visit. So the FBI is working with Twitter to spy on Americans. And these are people that had, as Jordan said, security clearance. By the way, talking about the IRS, we have a documentary we put together at ACLJ Films. If you just go to aclj.films.com, it's available for free. It's called Targeting Us, and us is U period S period. And it's about the IRS and the abuse of the IRS. And again, I encourage you to go to aclj.films.com. So we've got a lot. We have a jam-packed program ahead. By the way, we'll be performing a live concert, which we do at the end of about 6 months out of the year, about six of the months. We do a live concert at the end of the month. We'll be doing it on this one. It'll be New Year's Eve. It'll be on Facebook, Rumble, wherever you go. Just if you like us on Facebook or Rumble, it's just J Seculo or Seculo. And I think it's important for people to understand when we start talking about the IRS, we come at this with some real experience. I mean, Jordan and I led the charge on a challenge to the Internal Revenue Service and their targeting, their be on the lookout list, the targeting that they engaged in against conservative organizations. And we won a huge case, got an injunction, declaratory judgment, permanent injunction against the IRS, which, by the way, as soon as the Biden administration came into power, they tried to violate, but fortunately we got that resolved. These were organizations that could not afford lawyers. And this was protracted litigation. I mean, there was discovery. It was in federal court. It went on. And fortunately, because, Jordan and I head up the American Center for Law and Justice, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to defending and protecting liberty, freedom, life, and the ability to speak and engage the issues. And these groups were being targeted unlawfully by the Internal Revenue Service, and they were able to utilize the services of the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, with no charge. We don't charge for our services because we're supported as an organization by people like you, American citizens that are concerned about where things are going and how things are being handled, and they want to be able to fight back, and that's fighting back. We had lawyers last week deployed to a city council hearing in Pueblo, Colorado, and on a life issue involving abortion, and at the same time, We were finishing up a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States. So when we say from the Supreme Court of the United States to your city council meeting, that's not figure of speech. That's the reality of the work that we're engaged in at the ACLJ. Now, coming up on the broadcast, we've got Claudia Tenney, of course, Congresswoman from New York, that's got legislation specifically on this issue.
That's right. She wants to redirect that money from those new new IRS agents, 87,000 new IRS agents at a cost of $80 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars, redirect that to use those funds to the border patrol agents, to secure our border. Because we know that's where and the mainstream media is not covering
it. No, but that's exactly why we're talking about it. We've got a lot more on the broadcast ahead. If you want to check us out, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back in a moment.
We are joined right now by a very special guest, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney of New York. And we've been talking about the immigration crisis at our southern border and everything else that brings with it. All the other crises that come with having an open border. And she's got a really cool piece of legislation to redirect some of those funds that were going to the IRS, billions of dollars,
yep,
that were going to go after middle-class Americans, to redirect that funding and support to our agents on the southern border who have been demonized, who have been left behind, really, by the Biden administration.
So, Congresswoman, this is Jay Sekulow. We're thrilled that you're with us on the program. And I got to say at the beginning here, for those that are just joining us, the Supreme Court issued a very specific one-line sentence saying they are staying the case involving Title 42, which has given some relief to our Border Patrol agents, but only until the government responds, and then maybe they'll hear the case, maybe they want it to be lifted as early as tonight. We've got all this money, 87,000 new IRS agents, that have already been allocated. I wanted to get you've got a bill you're calling the Direct Act. Tell us what this would do. And it's a variant, folks. This is how you make change in Washington, D.C., by redirecting the flow of funds, because that is such a pivotal part of what Congress does. Congresswoman, what does the Direct Act do?
Well, thank you for being on. It's a complete honor to be on with you guys, especially just watching your work over the years.
Thanks.
And look, I just looked at this and said, why are we adding 87,000 IRS agents? We already have 80,000 people working for the IRS. So you add 87,000 more. And remember, this is in the age of we have computers. We have a lot more efficiency. So you don't need as many people, actually, but they're doing this because, number one, they want to create a bureaucracy, and number two, they want to go after these lower and middle-income taxpayers who can't afford lawyers and accountants and people that can actually help them with their tax returns. And I'll tell you what happens as a member of Congress, and I'm sure that even the Democrats deal with this. We deal every day with taxpayer advocacy. We help people who can't get through the IRS, who can't afford lawyers. So now we're going to have even more money spent and more bureaucracy and more powerful people put in charge. Remember, they added guns to the repertoire of IRS agents. So they're almost like FBI agents, which we now know are so corrupt. And I'm looking at this. This was already done. It was already appropriated. Uniparty, one-party rule by the Democrats. How can we change it? The only thing we could do is what they call rescission, and that's take that money back and redirect it to our Border Patrol and our border agents who are suffering at the border at the expense of the taxpayers. So this bill's actually been out for a little while, but it's really getting the Democrats irritated, which is why I think it's getting so much steam right now, because they realize it makes complete sense. Use taxpayer wise money wisely. We're not. We're hurting our taxpayers. We're hurting immigrants at the border. We're hurting people that live in the border states. And by the way, New York and every state has become a border state. We know about our travel agency that's been created by the Biden administration, where night flights are landing into places like upstate New York and even New York City, where they can't handle this this influx of illegal immigrants. The border is being run by human traffickers, drug traffickers, and the Biden administration refuses to look at this. I'll be curious to see what happens. You know, I'm also a lawyer, and what would happen with Title 42? I'm often disappointed with the Supreme Court and some of the cert petitions that get denied by Justice Roberts on issues that really need the Supreme Court to weigh in. So let's see what happens. This could be catastrophic for us and the taxpayers, because you're looking at what's estimated to be around 14,000 people per day would be coming into the border. That means over 400,000 per month when we're seeing about 230,000 in the month of November 2022 alone, which is beyond all records, 400% more than it ever has been. So we're seeing like real issues happening here. So it's a huge problem.
It's just a stay. It's called an administrative stay, what the Chief Justice put in place. It's good. It's better than the alternative, which would have been an outright denial. But the government's responding. But this idea, that, and you said it, the 87,000 IRS agents targeting working Americans, middle-class Americans, that don't have the ability to have lawyers defend them and CPAs to go in and negotiate with the IRS. And the outrage that an agency like the IRS, which is I've said it, I will say it again, and I litigated the IRS cases against them, and we were successful. But I will tell you, folks, I think they're institutionally incapable of self-correcting. And that's where this whole idea of redirecting assets, money, taxpayer money, to the border makes a lot of sense as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, no, I agree. And first of all, the IRS is so powerful, as you know. What's the most scary thing other than having the FBI at your door? You know, the IRS, those two agencies, interestingly, how powerful they are against our criminal justice system, which it's the premise of our entire system is we are innocent until proven guilty. IRS and the FBI we're guilty until proven innocent. And now you're seeing, you know, the FBI colluding. I hate to use the Democrats' words, but they project so beautifully for us that you really can just kind of see what they're talking about and reinterpret and see that the FBI was actually pushing Twitter to spy and pushing Twitter to suppress and censor. So the IRS has so much power. And, you know, they're one of the most powerful agencies. How can we have 167,000 new IRS agents or 87,000 new when we have a Marine Corps of about 174,000? We have Homeland Security, which is a large department. We have Customs and Border Patrol. But just think about it. The entire Labor Department for the entire United States is only 14,000. Honestly, I think they all should be less. I think we need less government bureaucracies and more in this, at the state level.
Yeah, less is more, that's for sure.
Congressman Tenney, how do we convince your colleagues, especially on the other side of the aisle? When you go through the numbers, it's staggering. I mean, nearly, if Title 42 goes, that could go tonight. Like, we're relying on the courts. You said you're an attorney. We're all attorneys that are talking right now. This could be done still at 12:01 Wednesday morning. Tomorrow, when we wake up, we know the cartels are ready. We know that thousands are ready at the border and that the estimates are 14,000 illegal crossings a day. That would be 400,000 a month. That's the population of New Orleans. And yet, your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, there's a couple that are brave enough to speak out, but most of them just kind of bury their head in the sand and act like this isn't the number one crisis facing our nation, because it's how fentanyl gets here. It's how the cartels get here. It's how people are smuggled. It's sex trafficking. It's gangs. It's drugs. It is the entire plethora. It's terrorists as well. It all starts with a porous southern border and a lack of resources for our Border Patrol agents.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take the cynical view that a lot of people say, well, they just want more people in so they can do more vote harvesting and get these voters' ballots on record, I want to say, because, you know, Republicans tend to go out and use policy and talk about winning every vote. Well, Democrats don't win on policy. They win now by collecting ballots and taking advantage of our bureaucratic system. So when you look at this, this is more bureaucracy. Again, more IRS agents. More people coming at us, but nobody really able to do anything because they're just bureaucrats. And so, why would the Democrats not want to fix this? This is they're seeing people in their own communities, fentanyl deaths at 250 a day. This isn't the big, you know, this isn't, you know, a few 250 a year. This is 250 a day from illegal fentanyl. And the cartels are just drooling. And you got to wonder, what's going on? Who's making money on this other than the cartels?
Right.
And other, you know, the cartels, human and drug trafficking. You know, I don't know. Are the Democrats getting something for all these people coming across the border?
Look, we're thrilled, Congresswoman, that you've got the Direct Act out there now. It's being discussed. It needs to be. Instead of having 87,000 IRS agents, let's get some help on the border to protect all of us, which is what needs to happen. Congressman, we appreciate you being on Hannity and appreciate your work for the American people. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much. It's an honor to be on.
Great.
Good luck to you guys.
Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
We'll be right back on Seculo.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
A lot of the folks that we're going to be talking to on the broadcast are actually team members of the ACLJ. So they're not just people we talk to on broadcast, but they're people that we work with behind the scenes as well. And one of those is the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. So you can imagine, whether we're talking about the border, because of course all the negotiations that take place with like Remain in Mexico and the Northern Triangle countries, with the Latin American countries, with terrorism. And as a former Secretary of State, as a former CIA director, a former member of Congress, a West Point grad, all of those things combined, and he's able to assist us at the ACLJ, Dad, when sometimes we're outside the government, outside the executive branch, but we're pushing the executive branch, we're pushing legislation, pushing FOIA requests and information like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because with the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is like as Jordan said, is our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. We operate internationally. We have offices throughout the world, including in Strasbourg, France, where the European Parliament sits and the European Court of Human Rights. But also we have offices in Jerusalem. That are very active. I've been to, and Jordan has as well, to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, where we've defended the U.S. interests. We've defended Israel's interests at the U.N. But what's interesting here is when we talk to the Secretary of State, I want to ask him about China, because Jim Jordan's also coming up in this broadcast, and he's going to be heading up the Judiciary Committee. A lot of us would like to know what happened. How did the Wuhan lab, if that's where it originated from, and apparently that is where it originated from, how did they get funding, including from the United States, maybe indirectly through a third party, but from the United States? I lost a brother to COVID, so I take it very personally. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have people like Jim Jordan now heading up committees, it's going to be a different world we're living in about a week and a half. Very different world. Now, you got a divided government. You got the Senate controlled by the Democrats. You got the Republicans controlling the House. And, of course, the White House with our commander-in-chief, as he's called, Joe Biden. And a commander-in-chief that won't go down to the border where the crisis is. A commander-in-chief that will not address the issues that are the most concerned to the American people, including inflation, which is still out of control, and including a situation with China. So we're going to ask Mike Pompeo about all those. But as Jordan said, you know, we get to work with people like this. All that's happening because of your support of the ACLJ. None of this happens without you. And I will tell you, like, we're not like a lot of organizations in that we don't have, you know, we get some, and we're appreciative of everything. We don't get regularly $10 million grants and $1 million grants. That's very rare for us. I mean, you could look at those over the course of our 20 years. I mean, our building in Washington was a large donation from a foundation. We'll never forget that. That's been 20 years already. But it's because of people like you, lots of people like you, that make a difference. That was what we decided to do 35 or 40 years ago when we started, that it was going to be more of a, we now call grassroots model, but it was really going to be supported by everyday citizens, the people that wanted to protect religious freedom, religious liberty, and protect our freedom and liberty as American citizens. And we have been blessed beyond anything we could imagine. And we have facilities that we can't even, when I'm wearing these facilities, I still can't believe we're in these facilities. But that doesn't happen without you. But I just wanted to stop and say thank you from all of us. There's just me and Jordan on the set today, but there's a lot of people working behind the scenes, as you know, in that we don't have a camera back there. We should really get one. And around this entire office and our offices around the globe. Thank you. Without your support, it doesn't happen. And as we said, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to let you know how to do it. It makes a big difference on how we can proceed ahead.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. You go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Right on the homepage there, you can do it on your phone. You can do it on your tablet. You can do it on your computer. Very quick, though. I mean, by the time we come back from this break, you could have easily made the donation. And you'll see matching challenge or donate. Either one of those take you to the right page. Put in your info, choose the amount you want to donate. You can also choose if you want to make it a recurring monthly donation. That will still be part of the match. People ask that all the time, and that will be part of the match. So you go to aclj.org. This is a great time to support our work. As you said, we're grassroots. You know, a $25 donation is a big deal for the ACLJ.
Strumming on my guitar.
folks, we've been talking about the situation at the border. We've been talking about the IRS in the first hour of the broadcast. I got to tell you something. We're being joined right now by a very good friend of ours, Senator Bill Haggard Jordan, somebody that we've got to know very well, work with, and are thrilled that he's with us today.
We do. We work very closely with Senator Haggerty from Tennessee and his staff, who do an excellent job. And Senator, I want to start with this. You had legislation, because part of this, the border crisis, is not just the individuals, the illegal immigrants, but it's what they bring with them, what the cartels bring with them. We saw today a 14-year-old that was picked up with 2 pounds of fentanyl by Border Patrol on them. I mean, that could kill thousands upon thousands of Americans. And you had legislation, the Stop Fentanyl Border Crossings Act, and Democrats defeated it. They actually voted against it. It's like, it's hard for people to understand when they follow this issue, Senator Haggerty. How can your colleagues on the other side of the aisle vote against legislation to stop fentanyl from flowing into our border?
Well, Jordan and Jay, it's great to be back on with you. I love what you do at ACLJ. And you're right. Not only did they vote against it once, they voted against it twice. I brought this back to the floor when I learned that the district judge had lifted Title 42, the pandemic being the reason and the rationale that they were using Title 42. It's a health crisis. He lifted that, said the pandemic is over. We all know that. But I tell you, the fentanyl crisis isn't over. And we have lost more young people between the ages of 18 and 45 to deaths by overdose here in America in the past year than any other cause, most of it fentanyl, and coming across that southern border. We've got to do something about it. The Democrats are willing to block this. They will not do anything to get in the way of their aim to, quote, transform America. They have destroyed the border. They're flooding America, and they're turning every town into a border town. And you've seen the news. My home state of Tennessee has now been notified that we're going to have people shipped into our state, single young males shipped into our state. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if they cover this the same way they covered the shipment of people into Martha's Vineyard. You think the mainstream media are going to pick this up when it happens to Tennessee the way they did in the liberal hotbed of Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah, of course not.
They went on, freaked out. You know, there's even the Martha's Vineyard migrant crisis is a wiki page. They are so upset about this. They've got their own Wikipedia page, the Martha's Vineyard migrant crisis. I wonder if we'll get one in Tennessee.
Yeah, because the left doesn't ever point to, I hate to say it this way, they don't ever like to point to the evidence of what this situation does to, quote, border cities, which is now every city in the United States. Every state's a border state. We've been litigating these issues for decades. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know, I cannot tell you, Senator, how many families have been crushed by fentanyl and losing loved ones. I mean, it's happened in our own family. I mean, we've seen it. And it's tragic. I mean, I'm thinking about the people in our teams who've lost loved ones or cousins or nephews. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous. And you would think for a moment that the left would say, you know what, this is a real problem on the border. That is the vehicle of entry. When you say a Stop Fentanyl Border Crossing Act, you would think, Senator, that the left would say, and your Democratic colleagues would say, you know what, we could all work together to stop fentanyl.
I would certainly hope so, but it seems to be inconvenient truth for them. They are still so focused on getting people, and I think primarily into sanctuary cities where they can have the ability to up the count, so to speak, of humans, because you know how the census works. Wilbur Ross tried to change this when he was Commerce Secretary to add the question about citizenship. No, the number of congressional districts and therefore electoral votes are going to be determined by the number of people living in a given area. And maybe what they're trying to do in my state of Tennessee is shift those numbers in their favor as well.
But when you look at the problem, Senator, and Jordan, you've talked about this a lot, every city's now become a border city.
You heard from Senator Haggerty, this is pretty breaking news. It just came out right before he joined us that Tennessee now is going to get this unspecified number, Senator Haggerty, of single men who are just going to be dropped off. We don't know the amount, don't know the number. I don't know if we even have the location yet. So now Tennesseans are going to experience, and like you said, is the national media going to run to Nashville or Memphis or Chattanooga or Knoxville to cover any of these stories?
No.
I don't think so. So it's up to us to tell the stories.
Absolutely it is, and I appreciate your giving us an opportunity to do it. When you think about this, the number of illegal immigrants that have come into the country just in the past year, roughly 3 million. That's larger than the cities of Nashville, Memphis, Knoxville, and Chattanooga combined. That doesn't even include the gotaways. I mean, this is already a tidal wave of people coming across that border, and now the Title 42 is, you know, in a stay position, but as Jay said, it could be lifted tonight, it could be lifted tomorrow, but once that stay is lifted, this is going to become a tsunami of human tragedy coming across that border. And I tell you, I've taken a group of Tennessee sheriffs and mayors down to the border. I've been there on other occasions. It is an absolute travesty what's happening. You see the misery that's occurring at that border. The people that have paid their life savings to these coyotes and cartels to get up there, to risk their lives, to come through, long, long and dangerous journeys. Then they're bringing fentanyl in along with them, the human trafficking that you mentioned. All of this is just a terrible situation. And from a national security standpoint, we have captured or encountered, is the polite word that the Biden administration uses, over 160 different nationalities at that border since Joe Biden took office. Over 160 different countries, a number of people that are on the terrorist watch list. There are only 193 countries recognized by the United Nations. I mean, this gives you an idea of the scope of the national security crisis that they have precipitated at our border. It's unprecedented, yep. And everyone, including the mainstream media, are looking the other way.
You know, the humanitarian crisis that this has created in the border and then in our communities and municipalities. Folks, I've represented DAs in a variety of states when these issues come up. And, you know, it's tragic what's happening to our families and our communities. It's tragic what's happening to the people that are being paying their life savings, as the senator said, to be handled by a coyote. And they may or may not have known they had fentanyl in their backpack. Who knows? The point is they did. And that was coming into the United States. I want to shift gears for a moment here, Senator, because you introduced a bill to require the Department of Justice to prioritize stopping violent crime and fentanyl trafficking rather than applying the Free Access to Clinic Entrances Act on abortion protesters, of which I've litigated more face cases probably than anybody. I've handled four cases at the Supreme Court dealing with related issues. And this idea that now, as you said, stop prosecuting ministers and arrest murderers. But the Department of Justice dusted off the FACE Act, which hadn't been applied in a decade, and all of a sudden they make it a cause celeb and they're spending real resources going after pro-life protesters who, if they wanted to go after them, local municipalities could for, like, trespass. But instead they try to turn it into literally a federal criminal case.
No, this is where the priorities of the Biden administration happen to lie. It's a war on conservative thought. It's certainly a war on pro-life. And if you think about it, my legislation made a tremendous amount of sense, not to deploy resources in that manner, to put them against the hardened criminals that are here illegally that have been convicted as felons. They won't even do that. They won't even redirect their resources to get hardened illegal immigrants who are felons out of the country. They'd rather come and attack Americans, whether it's pro-life clinics or it's parents that are attending a school board meeting. You know, they're not going to protect a Supreme Court justice who's being marched upon in violation of federal law, but they're going to do everything they can to harass and harangue conservative thinkers here in America. It's just a shame.
It really is. Senator, we appreciate you being representing really all of us, and we've certainly appreciated working with you and your team trying to advance causes for the country and, of course, for your state of Tennessee as well, our state of Tennessee. But I also want to say thank you from all of us for all of the hard work you're doing. I know this is great challenges ahead, but we're just glad you're there. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you very much, both Jay and Jordan. Thank you for what you do.
You know, I wanted to say, and appreciate it, Senator, that, so far every issue we've hit at the American Center for Law and Justice, we've been front and center on all of these cases.
A lot of these are coming back up again. So yeah. What you said, dusting off the FACE Act and reprioritizing at the DOJ in a way that even the Obama administration wasn't doing. This kind of leftist focus on pro-life protesters and ministers, like Senator Hagerty was talking about, instead of the drug traffickers. Instead of the violent criminals. So they talk about defunding the police. And they ran away from defunding the police closer.
That didn't work out so well.
No. But it's not like they refunded the police. That needs to be pointed out. All of this legislation that we've talked about today is about refunding law enforcement to do the right thing. They tried to make us out as conservatives to be anti-law enforcement. We're not anti-law enforcement. We are pro-law enforcement. We just want their priorities to be set right from Washington, D.C., especially if you're talking about federal law enforcement agencies.
No, you're right. And the Department of Justice has a lot of flexibility, and they are exercising that flexibility. Folks, we are in a matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ at aclj.org. These are the November and December, the 2 months that have the greatest impact on the overall work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We set our budgets based on November and December going forward, and we've got big initiatives we haven't announced yet that are really big initiatives here in the United States that's going to impact the world. But your support of this is critical. You know, you see this broadcast, and you see me and Jordan and our team that's on air. You see the studio. You don't see the six people behind the camera that are working here to put this for you. Jordan and Logan are also adding three times a week a podcast, the Secular Brothers podcast. I mean, more content's being created. We've got cases going on all over the country. We're just authorized. We've got a case pending at the Supreme Court of the United States right now involving prayer. All that's happening because of your support of the ACLJ. So if you're able to support us, this is a great time to have your support matched. So whatever amount you know, Jordan, you said it yesterday. Some people wish they could give $100, but it's only, you know, $25 or $50 this year. Well, effectively, that's $100 for us if they gave $50 because it's matched.
Right.
So every amount helps. We encourage you to do it if you're able.
Yeah, that's right. At ACLJ.org, you'll see right at the top the matching challenge. So it just what it means. And it's a great example. So if today, you know, you can't give what you usually would give, if you usually would donate something like $100, well, if you donated $50, that will be matched by another $50. So it's like $100. If you donated $25, it'll be matched by a $25 donation. That's $50. So it's a great time because you double the impact of the money that you do donate. And we know, again, you're making tough decisions right now, but if you're in that position where you're still making contributions, we really encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ today at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back. We're joined now by the ACLJ's Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. You may know him best as the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo.
Mr. Secretary, it's great to be with you. I wanted to start with the border question because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program today, Title 42 up before the Supreme Court in the United States. John Roberts issued an administrative stay so that it could still be utilized today by our Border Patrol. I've had these stays last an hour. I've had them last, you know, 4 months. But your sense of what lifting Title 42 could do and will do to the American people because of the border crisis, it will help exacerbate.
Jay, Jordan, thanks for having me on. It's great to be with you again. Look, lifting Title 42, we don't have to guess about what that means for America. You can see it with your own eyes. The left can try to gaslight us, but make no mistake, you can see the thousands of people who are going to come across. Even the administration's estimated maybe as many as 7,000 people a day, 14,000 people. I mean, numbers that just stagger and boggle the mind. I'm from Kansas. You know, 14,000 people is a reasonably good-sized town. Every day, coming across the southern border unlawfully, bringing with them goodness knows what, fentanyl, chemicals, drugs. We've had dozens and dozens of people on the terror watch list come across. Who knows how many we haven't caught. So this will be devastatingly bad for the United States to lift Title 42. And the administration let this date come and did nothing. It tells you exactly about their intentions with respect to the border. They're not going to do a thing.
I mean, we're starting to see Secretary Pompeo finally. Mayor Adams in New York, I mean, he's complaining over, you know, 30,000 people. It's New York City. And you've got the governor, Newsom, in California. That's a state that actually has a wall, speaking out about how this is just a total crisis and coming out of control. But it seems like, as you said, the Biden administration, Karine Jean-Pierre, and their press conferences, is going to continue to gaslight us. They're going to continue to say, like Secretary Mayorkas, the border's secure. We're doing everything we can. It's the Republicans' fault. Somehow it's the party that's in the minority, currently in both the House and the Senate and the White House. It's their fault that the border is like this. And we've talked about this before, but all the policies you were putting in place under the Trump administration, it's like they can't stomach utilizing any of them just because it happened to be something done under the Trump administration.
Jordan, your point, this isn't a Republican problem or a Democrat problem. This is an American problem. You're going to have big city mayors all across America to say what Mayor Adams said in New York City. Help, we have a crisis now. Even the leadership in El Paso, right, that didn't want to say it now, realize they've got an emergency on their hands. And it is deeply, deeply dangerous to the people who are going to be sleeping on the streets. Tens of thousands of people sleeping on the streets in the cities along the border. That's not humanitarian. And, you know, to your final thought there, it took us a little bit, but we finally figured it out. We'd figured out how to stop precisely what you're seeing today at the border. We had slowed illegal immigration to a trickle. I promise you, we would have all been fired if we had 7,000 people coming across the border on any one day. And we would have been right to have been fired. It would have been the right thing. This is possible to stop. We don't need to go to root causes and dream about funding El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala. We need to do the things that America can do. We can demand that the Mexican government do its part. And when we do, when we get that right, when we turn the magnet off here, just like Remain in Mexico, that simple policy did, you can slow down illegal immigration to a level that we can protect our sovereignty, protect our borders. The American people will demand this, and they certainly deserve it.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Secretary. Universities are being infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party, even in America's leading universities.
I saw this when I was Secretary of State. Our biggest research universities doing high-end work are all dependent on the Chinese Communist Party and its money. Money for their research, students that come to the schools, they pay full rate, they don't get a discounted rate. Their pension systems now are often the college pensions. Our state university systems are all tied to the Chinese Communist Party. So they have infiltrated. I talk about the Chinese Communist Party as being inside the gates, impacting ordinary Americans every single day. This isn't a foreign policy issue. This is an American issue that impacts us here at home every day. And the Biden administration has shown no willingness to actually confront it.
You know, there was a move on TikTok, and we may need to explain it for people for a second, Secretary Pompeo, first to TikTok and the U.S. Senate saying, you know, this should be banned from government employees' phones. That's, you know, they're not yet going to the fact of banning it from all Americans' phones, but from federal government employees' phones. And yet the House has not yet taken up the legislation. This passed the Democrat-controlled U.S. Senate. We've talked about the dangers of TikTok. People have said, get this off your phone. This is a spying tool by the Chinese Communist Party. How serious? I mean, the TikTok threat. There's a lot of people listening to this broadcast right now. They may not use TikTok, but their kids and grandkids do.
Tell your kids to get TikTok off their phone. That is my guidance, because I care about your family, your kids, your security, your privacy. It is being pushed by the Chinese Communist Party both to collect information from our kids, but also to propagandize them, to push information to them, so that they'll think about America as being not exceptional and about China and the Chinese Communist Party of being normal and decent. We know how perverse and how wrong that is. Now, we should not only get it off our federal phones. Imagine, Jordan, just for a second, that we asked the Chinese military to put on a U.S. app that was spying on them on their phones. It's not going to happen. We've been naive. We've been silly. We can fix this. Other countries have banned TikTok. We tried to do it in the Trump administration. Frankly, we didn't get it done. There was some hope that we could figure out a way to disconnect TikTok from the Chinese government. I don't believe that's possible. We simply need to ban it. And everyone needs to take the app off their phones.
You know, one of the things that you worked on, move us to the Middle East, at the American Center for Law and Justice, as you know, Mr. Secretary, we've got an office, a very active office in Jerusalem, and handles a lot of issues throughout the Middle East, internet issues involving the International Criminal Court in The Hague, where I've appeared multiple times. Interestingly, though, the Biden administration was pursuing aggressively a re-engagement in the Iran nuclear deal, as it's called. Now, when you were Secretary of State, you led the charge to get us out of that deal, which was horrible because it was no deal at all. I notice in the last 3 weeks, silence from the administration. They were pushing it. About December 1st, it kind of stopped. What's your sense of what the administration was trying to accomplish? What do you think happened here? I know it's hard to read the tea leaves sometimes, but you would know it better than anybody else.
Yeah, my sense, Jay, is reality hit them in the face. The reality of the Iranian regime and what they're doing to women and to ordinary citizens who are just trying to do simple things and live their lives. And I think that reality became so clear. And then I think the Iranians just kept asking for stuff, and we kept giving it to them, and they kept telling them, no, that's not enough. And so I think the administration finally has now reached a point where they have come to recognize they can't get that deal done. I don't think it changes their view. They have been acting in a way that cuddles the United States up way too close to Iran. I don't think that's going to change. But boy, if you see what the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Emirates are doing and hedging their bets with China, if you watch the Israelis do the same thing, that shows a disconnectedness from the reality of the Middle East that we delivered. Real prosperity, real peace, less risk our kids would have to go fight and die in the Middle East because of the work that we did for 4 years. And the Biden administration, much like we began, Jay, you talked about that. Just yep. if Trump and Pompeo did it, they can't do it. I think you're seeing the same thing here in the Middle East as well.
We appreciate it, Mr. Secretary. And again, now, folks, we are in a matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ at aclj.org. These are the November and December, the 2 months that have the greatest impact on the overall work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
At aclj.org, you'll see right at the top the matching challenge. So just what it means. And it's a great example. So if today, you know, you can't give what you usually would give, if you usually would donate something like $100, well, if you donated $50, that will be matched by another $50. So it's like $100. If you donate $25, it'll be matched by a $25 donation. That's $50. So it's a great time because you double the impact of the money that you do donate. And we know, again, you're making tough decisions right now, but if you're in that position where you're still making contributions, we really encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ today at acLJ.org. Donate today.